Thanks. Please.
If I can elaborate just a little bit on that. Normally,
speak up.
Normally, we have two baskets back there, but as with many things here, not everything has been unpacked yet. And on the nights when we are not collecting Donna for a teacher, through Eric's graciousness, we would normally have a collection for the Sangha, which, as Joanne said, helps us to support the Watt, which so graciously lets us meet here without charge. And then we have a second basket on those nights, which is for our scholarship fund. Since we only have a golden bowl back there, which is going to be for the Donna for the Sangha, if you would like to make a donation to our scholarship fund, which allows us to have people who want to go on retreat and can't afford the full price, it allows us to offer scholarships. If you'd like to put them in the box where the tapes are, that would be fine. Thank you.
Thank you. So, do we have, please? And please speak up if you would.
I found that in spite of my desire and my feelings, my willingness to let go of my feelings and thoughts about the election, that they are relentlessly, the thoughts are just kind of relentlessly there. And I don't see any difference because I recognize that they're causing me suffering and that they're not helpful. And yet it just seems like in any distracted moment, there they are again, and the same ones over and over again.
Yeah, actually, this is really what you're describing, I think, a lot of us are experiencing. You know, that we have painful thoughts and painful feelings, and they keep coming. And I think that with our particular practice, and I find it really works, you don't try to get rid of those thoughts and feelings. You turn toward them, you actually embrace them. You have a desire to know them, you know, so if it's possible to let, since the thoughts are an endless tape loop and aren't going anywhere, if it's possible to let go of the thinking level of what's happening as much as you can and come down to the physical level of what's happening and to feel the emotions, because the emotions are driving the thoughts. It's really the emotion is causal. The thoughts are only an effect. So you go from the level of the effect to the level of the cause, you feel the emotion in your body. So it might be grief, it might be anger, you know, it might be fear, whatever. There's a usual short list of suspects. Yeah. And you're willing to be with it, to experience it directly, even though it's quite painful. You know, so normally what we do is we either try to get rid of things, you know, and maybe go off and have addictive behaviors in order to cover them up, you know, or we spend our time cultivating those things, you know, feeling I am absolutely justified in feeling really angry now and I'm going to get really angry, that kind of feeling. That the middle ground is allowing it to be there, knowing it and feeling it completely without resistance, and eventually it will fall away by itself. You know, and sometimes it, you know, I had a really painful, terribly painful event happen to me 6 years ago. And I spent about 6 months in obsessive thinking and feeling. And I couldn't break the cycle. And what I did is I just surrendered to it and I said, okay, this will be here as long as it needs to be here. You know, let it be here. And eventually, by my patiently holding it, as it were, being a container for those feelings, eventually they reduced and passed. You know, so if you're dramatically impacted by what's happened, it's not going to go away in a couple of hours. But just seeing if it's possible to notice the way the thoughts are feeding the feelings and the feelings are feeding the thoughts, and see if it's possible to uncouple those things and to be with the feeling, the emotion in your mind and your body. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I guess I'm a little afraid of falling into the feelings and afraid I'm overwhelmed by despair.
Yeah.
And I'm afraid of
Yeah, well, actually, that's a very good point. And if it feels like at any point like it's overwhelming, that's the time to distract yourself. You know, so go out and rent a movie or, you know, something that's reasonably wholesome. You know, and say, this is not about denial. This is about my stepping out for the time being, and I have the commitment to come back. You know, so there are times when it's really, I was in such a state yesterday, and I called a friend in Little Rock, and I said, you know, I'm really hurting. And he said, well, what have you done to soothe yourself today? You know, he said, go do your yoga. You know, go have a nice bath. Cook yourself a nice meal. And I did all of those things. And I made a nice fire in the fireplace. And so I soothed myself. And that soothing, that self-care and the self-nurturing really helped the feelings of despair that I was feeling yesterday to pass. Does this make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you stand in the fire of it sometimes, but then it's also important to step out of the fire. It's a really important question. Thank you.
Thank you.
I've been suffering myself over this week, but I've also been feeling a lot of compassion for folks that are experiencing for the first time what I've experienced multiple times on Election Day. Folks that, with a very good, big heart, got involved for the first time, a lot of them. Young and old, that I, people who I know. And there's a big disappointment when you made that kind of a commitment.
Yes.
and your hopes are dashed. And I just would ask what you would say to those.
You know,
that are probably not Buddhist. We're not Buddhist necessarily.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be. Mm-hmm. You don't have to use Buddhist language. I think the most important thing when people are suffering in that way, they have really committed themselves, there's deep disappointment about an outcome. It's the most important thing is empathy. To say, I see what you're feeling and I have felt it too. Mm-hmm. You know, the first thing is empathy so that they're seen and acknowledged for what they're actually experiencing. And then at some point, to go to wisdom and say, you know, I've been through this cycle a lot of times, and I keep showing up. Mm-hmm. And this is not about a sprint, it's about a marathon, mm-hmm. You know? So let's keep going. Let's keep organizing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's this really positive thing that all of that energy came out.
I'm hoping that the young people lead us out of this in the same way that young people let us out in the 1960s. You know, that's my own personal hope, is that they're going to get really organized. And I think it's really useful for the older folks to help to provide wonderful kind of support from a longer perspective. Their energy, our wisdom. Please.
It's always kind of a nuisance that I remember teaching after the fact, you know. And as you were talking, I just remembered something that I don't remember where I heard it, at what retreat or whatever it was, but I remember somebody saying to work as hard as you could for what you believed in, but not to be attached to the outcome.
Yeah.
If I thought of that on Wednesday, I probably would have felt a lot better.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think it's wonderful. It's hard to do. But I think from, you know, a place of the understanding of impermanence, whatever we create is going to fall apart. If there had been a different outcome, we would still, you know, have some stuff to deal with. So, you know, so you do your very best with the understanding that entropy's working. Does that make sense?
In the same spirit that what arises. You know, I feel that when we get to a place where we can go on and not just be struggling with all those feelings that we're having, that it's very important for us to also look at what's really out there and sort of regroup with an understanding of the reality that we're
right.
dealing with.
Right. That's wisdom.
And I think this is a shift. So we have a different, we're going to be facing a slightly different reality.
Yes.
Than we were before. And I think that having a clear mind and about that is very important. And it's really important not to let all the media pundits and all the spinners and everything decide for us what we're going to, how we're going to interpret this and how we're going to see it. And then I think with that, whatever we do, I think it will be from a place of truth, and we can be more effective and more, you know, just being with reality. I mean, it's being with reality is kind of the best. And I often feel that what's happened is that I have a tendency to get caught up in, again, it's the story and the things I believe in and the things I care about and there's all, and not just sometimes that gets in the way of seeing what's really
right.
there.
Right. So it's a very good point. I mean, it's a seeing clearly what exists is in some ways a story,
mm-hmm.
but just noticing when wisdom is there and when reactivity is there, mm-hmm. you know, because one can so easily shade into the other. A very clear analysis of our situation is one thing, but an analysis with a whole bunch of interpretation that has to do with anger and pride and comparing mind and all the rest of it, just to be, did you see? And that takes not only seeing clearly what's happening out there, but seeing very clearly what's happening in here. And yes. That's where our spiritual practice can be really useful.
Right, and I think the role of fear, you know, comes into play in that. And it's already happened to me. I've already started wanting to go into denial. Because fear puts you into denial as well as in your
right.
reaction.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it takes a kind of active courage to look at what's really there when it's not what you want it to be.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't have a happy end. You know, there's no sort of Hollywood ending to this
uh-huh.
movie. and I think especially as Americans, we always want a Hollywood ending, and it's very difficult to look at something and say, oh no, you know, this is the way it is, you know, this is what it is. I'm not gonna, you know, gonna be that story.
One of the chants I've been doing to myself is, I've been in countless marches and demonstrations where we chant, "The people united will never be defeated."
Mm-hmm.
And I've been saying to myself, "The psyche united." You know, let this be a united and clear and whole psyche as well.
Yeah, right. I always think the people will never be united.
So. Just one last comment?
Well, I was going to suggest that if people wanted to continue discussing, that we have our announcements and
good.
Then let the discussion continue.
Good, that's fine. Yeah, announcements?
I have some announcements.
Next
week, Leela Kate Wheeler, a well-known Dharma teacher, will be here. She's doing a residency in Santa Fe, and she will be coming to Albuquerque for 4 events during the time that she's in New Mexico, which is a month. The first one is next Thursday evening, and then the week after that, she'll be doing an event jointly sponsored by the People of Color and Allies Sangha and our Sangha on a Friday evening. And there will also be a day-long retreat, which is going to be held at Joni's house and has a nominal charge of $5. So if you're interested in that day-long retreat, please speak to me so I can put your name on the list. And then finally, she'll be doing one more Thursday night. I think it's the first Thursday in December, which, if memory serves, is the second.
Thank you. Any other announcements?
I have some flyers here that I'm distributing for Laura Putney, who's a yoga teacher at High Desert Yoga and an occasional member of the Sangha. And it's about a guy who Alan Clements his New Mexico tour here. He's a former Buddhist monk and a human rights activist, and is doing some workshops and stuff, so I'm just going to put it over there.
Anything else? So, looks like we have come to the end of our evening. If anyone would like to stay and have more discussion, I'm happy to do that, but please.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.